Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up? What's up, everyone? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you, fresh back from Las Vegas, Nevada. And boy, I tell you, what a disappointment! Almost just like the markets, it's really become a haven of how can we screw the American consumer and the people that come in from out of the country. How many ways can we rip them off and take advantage of their willingness to come to Las Vegas and gamble or come for a show or come for any other number of reasons? But I can tell you now that I've been to Vegas probably a thousand times, maybe. I've lived there for a while, and it used to be an unbelievable place to go. If you like to gamble, if you like shows, if you want to take a family and be able to create maybe a bargain and not have a vacation that would cost you a zillion dollars. And, of course, we've seen over the years, and if you watch the movie Casino, how the casino industry has changed. And good for them and for their stockholders that they learned how to make money in every department. And I have no problem. I'm a capitalist at heart and in action, and I believe in making money. But what I don't believe in is ripping off the consumer. And that I find to be a problem. And my experience this weekend was just that. And I stayed at, the hotel will be nameless at the moment, but I stayed at a major hotel from a major chain, and when we arrived, we sat down to have a late snack or a little late breakfast. And when I looked at the menu and saw pancakes for $20, I went almost went through the roof. And then when I ordered a Coke, and it was $7. For a 30 cents worth of goods, Coke, I go, wow, this has really become a profit center everywhere. And to me, I find this treatment and this running of a company to be a total ripoff. Now, again, obviously, you want to go to Las Vegas, you're willing to get ripped off. I understand that, and I'm not telling you not to go. But, you can take gouging too far. You can take, we talk about, usury rates and lending, and we talk about, other areas of where corporate America is just ripping you off. And this is just another prime example of taking advantage of an American, a consumer is basically locked into your place. And especially if you're there on business, it's totally getting your eyes sucked out of your head to squeeze you out of every dime that you can possibly make. So not only do they take the advantage of you at the tables, which is when you gamble, I have no problem with that. There's a mathematical probability model to it. And the better you can play any of their games, the lower you can cut the edge, but you can never eliminate the edge because that's why they're in business, and that's why they call it gambling. And I have no problem whatsoever with that part of it. But what I do have a problem with is getting screwed from the brand new resort fee that almost every hotel charges now so that I can use their internet, and I am forced in. So really what they've done is, in this particular case, they added $36 a night to the cost of my room as a resort fee. Now, what is a resort fee? I mean, what am I not paying to be in that hotel? Did I already not pay an exorbitant amount of money for the room? So now I've got an additional charge that is being laid off as a resort fee. So now, by the time I have finished with my room, I've got an additional $40 because of taxes that they charge on that resort fee added to my bill. So if I paid $180 a night for the room, I just added 40%. So they basically decided that they were going to add a 20% resort fee to go on top of the already exorbitant hotel fee that they're charging me to give me the privilege to come there and gamble. Now, if that's not enough for you, and I guess I got more, but I mean, I could go on for hours, but obviously not to bore you with some of the details. But so then, as we decide to muscle out to wander out to the pool, they have these lounge chairs, and they've got from the regular old crappy lounge chair that you always had to now these deluxe, high cushioned fancy lounge chairs, which, by the way, they charge $200 a day to rent a double lounge chair. Okay? So, if you figure it out, obviously, you do the math, $200 a day, and let's say they way overpaid for the lounge chair to put it there. So now I'm paying the resort fee plus, if I want a nice lounge chair, another $200 a day, which is more than my room. Now, you tell me how the math and science work out in there, Mr. Wizard. And, you go through every single spot, okay? And again, like I said, I don't have a problem with people making a profit. But I do have a problem with $20 pancakes, a $40 resort fee added to my bill, a $7 Coca-Cola that's worth about 3 cents in product. Okay. And the worst part of it is now that we've got all these extra fees, well, what about your tipping? If you tip 15 or 20% on your bill, well, your tipping went up dramatically. And to me, again, this is a perfect example of what has now become wrong with this organization we have here, because you've got everybody skimming off of somebody and again charging ridiculous rates for things that are just totally ripping you off. And I can't understand how a once great place like Vegas, and believe me, there's no lack of people wanting to pay those fees because they're packed. I mean, in a recessionary time, I've never seen crowds like this. But I don't understand that they want every single edge, and they want to totally discard anybody's budget. I mean, you can't imagine what it's like. I mean, the charging that they're doing just becomes to me totally ludicrous and really unreasonable overall. I mean, hotels in general are a little bit unreasonable, but that's the cost of convenience. But when you're taking the advantage of every single spot, I think that's above and beyond the ability. I believe this is more of a usury type of rate. And again, as long as the customers will pay for it, there's nothing that can be said or done about it. But certainly, I found it offensive and ridiculous. And of course, that's just one man's opinion. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Do you want to get to the download? Get the episodes every day. LibertyTalk.fm. In the meantime, I'm going to step out for a break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and I will be right back after the break.
All right, boys, follow me. Mostly in A.
Well, Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. It's time for the one, the only, the very talented Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Ka-Ching Report. What's up, Jane?
Just, you know, the most interesting thing in the world going on is the election. And I'm just, every day, there's something new and interesting with this, and it's been fun to watch.
It is fun to watch, but you know what I want to find out, Jane? You know, we never talk about it. Your TV show, you know, people want to know how they find you and where they pick you up on air. How do they do that?
Well, we are on in 73 different TV markets, and some of them are recorded, some of them are live. I won't list all of them to you, but I'm on live. I'll list the live ones for you. King TV in Seattle, ABC affiliate in Portland, Oregon, ABC in San Francisco, KUSI in San Diego. I'm on an NBC in San Antonio. Wish TV in Indianapolis, Jacksonville, Florida, WJXT, West Palm Beach, CBS there. What am I missing?
I don't know.
Salt Lake City, Las Vegas. So, yeah, I'm in all those markets, and we're working to get more.
And what are some of the things you cover when you're on air?
Well, these are local news morning shows. So these are not people who are, you know, heavily invested in the market. It's not their day-to-day job. So we try to be a little different than CNBC or Bloomberg or Fox Business by offering some more consumer news. So, you know, for example, you know, I talked about online loans. The government's looking into them. Some of them are kind of sketchy. They think there should be more regulations involving online loans. We talked about the Office Depot, Staples failed merger, Disney exiting Infinity. So I just really try to pick stories that can relate to middle America and just people who are just, you know, they go to work at, you know, a factory or at a hospital, or they teach and they're putting a little money away and they just want to know how to make smart money choices.
So, you know, when you're, and that's, you know, everybody is a basic investor, and, you know, obviously some are more professional, but I mean, so when you're talking about basic stuff, like, for example, last week Disney reported, and of course they've missed again, and people are shocked, but I mean, I don't think it's shocking. They've got some warts within Disney, but also, you know, the economy is not great. Again, we can listen, but it's not great. What did you think about that, and does that concern you at all?
Well, of course, Disney, one of the best known companies in the world. I mean, no matter if you watch the markets or follow business at all, you've probably heard of Disney. I mean, my kids when they were three had heard of Disney. So everybody's familiar with it. And, well, you know, they did raise their admission prices recently. That probably hurt attendance, but attendance at their theme parks was down. They've got the ESPN cable issue that a lot of cable channels are, you know, figuring out what their future is. I got to tell you, though, we're going to Disney World Memorial Weekend, and I haven't been there since I was just out of college. I mean, it's been so long, and I am thoroughly impressed with the organization and marketing of this company. And I think, you know, I mean, Disney is obviously here to stay, and I think, you know, Bob Iger is running a great company, and just the way they handle the marketing of it and the communication with the people. They've been sending us things. You know, there's the fast passes and the wristbands and all this stuff to help you enjoy the experience a little more. And I think it's a really, really well-managed and well-run company.
Oh, it's great. And I mean, I don't like Disney myself. I mean, I've been there, and but I'm impressed. You know, I'm not a big mm-hmm. ride guy. And, you know, I'm not one of the sightseers. I don't like to go on vacation and be exhausted when I get back. So,
Right. Well, I hate standing in line. So I've been trying to avoid that as much as possible. And of course, you know, my kids want to go, and even if you're not like a theme park person, or you don't have any children, or you just don't care about it, you still got to admire the way the company's run. It's very efficient.
Oh, it's great. It like I said, and it's spotless. The grounds are spotless. I mean, they do a great job, and I can certainly not take anything mm-hmm. away from them. But so, you know, we've got the election, you talked about that, and we've got, you know, companies that are not doing well earnings wise, but of course some are getting rewarded, and yet the markets kind of hang out here, you know, in the towards the upper end, obviously, of the range. Are you seeing anything that says to you that this market could break to the upside, or are you seeing anything that's really bothering you that says, you know what, we got real problems and something's going to happen here soon?
Gosh, I think I could probably make a case for both. which is what the market is, right? I mean, it's competing interests and financially, you know, people are trying to figure out what's going to happen. I mean, I think we have seen certainly evidence of the structural part of the economy is having problems. There's so many industries right now that are going through, and organizations that are going through just upheaval. We've got, you know, the media industry, the one that I'm in, everybody's trying to figure out what to do. I mean, what's the internet mean, and video, and the fractured audience. Healthcare is being totally upended by technology as well as government regulations. Energy is being, and retail, you know, you've got all these millennials who buy some cheap shirt and take a selfie and then throw it away. You know, how does a department store compete with that? So, you know, there's just some really fundamental changes going on in our economy right now. And, you know, I think it'll all play out and everything will be okay, but it's going to take a while.
Now, you mentioned a few minutes ago, but the online lending and the peer-to-peer lending now, because that's, you know, that's the hottest thing right now. Does that give you a cause for concern that, you know, and not necessarily that they're not legit, because I'm sure they're very straight up, but, you know, typically when we get markets that get saturated with something, and now it's, you know, every day you hear another shark from, you know, the Shark Tank talking about this loan, Cabbage, and this guy and that guy. Does that give you any cause for concern?
Well, I mean, whenever you've got people who need cash quickly and will pay, you know, usury rates to get it, you know, there's a problem. I think the question is, there's always been that in existence, but the question is, how prevalent is it? And it just seems like so many people have money problems. I mean, people are borrowing money for basic necessities now, you know, groceries and, you know, to fix their car. And those are things that, you know, my parents' generation, people never borrowed money for. They always had savings, but we're being discouraged from savings. You don't make any return on a savings account. There's all kinds of fun, tempting things to do. There's a lot of peer pressure to buy this, buy that, go on this trip, do this, send your kids to private school, you know, whatever. And I just think a lot of Americans just don't have any savings. And that is an area of concern for me, the debt and the lack of savings. We have no cushion.
But wait a second. President Obama just came out on the Jobs Friday and said what a great job he's been doing. He's created 14 million jobs while he's been in office. What's wrong, Jane? I don't understand. Help me.
Well, I mean, people will believe what's in front of their own eyes versus what a politician. I mean, you can spin. And one thing I've learned is you can take almost any economic report and find something about it that is positive. I'm not sure what was positive in that report. Maybe wages went up a little bit, I think, maybe a little. That was the only silver lining. But 160,000 jobs created at this stage of a recovery. I mean, we should be seeing more like 300,000 to 400,000. I talked to a guy who compared our current jobs reports with those of the 1950s and then factored in population and all kinds of things. He said we should be creating more like 400,000 to 500,000 jobs to be really where we need to be.
Well, I remember when I was active on the floor, when we actually had a trading floor, that, you know, we'd have prints sometimes of 700,000 jobs.
Oh, yeah.
Now they brag and they love 160, 200. I don't see it. I think that's creating a bigger problem. But the last question I want to ask you is, I don't know if you followed any of that Moral Monday. If you saw any of that, you know, on that Monday a week ago, we saw the protests at Citadel. With the people, the socialists wanting more money.
Oh, yes, I did. Sorry, I'm with you. Yes,
that's okay.
Yes,
I thought. I wrote about that, and of course, I blistered them on Varney and called them a bunch of idiots that don't work. I happen to be sitting with my son working, and he goes, don't these people have jobs? What are they doing at 12:30 on a Monday afternoon protesting?
Right.
What is this? Are we going to become just totally everybody wants to get to make my money? Everybody wants my money and your money because we pay taxes. But they don't want to go out and work for it themselves. I mean, why can't they go get a job? Why does everyone want to destroy capitalism? Explain that to me.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, a lot of these people are young, and that's what they learn in college. That's all they know. And, you know, shame on us, I guess, in the United States for not educating people on money. I mean, it's amazing. And you and I feel passionately about changing that. We know it's a hard sell. But, I think their protests were directed at the wrong group. From what I understand, it was the Illinois legislature that that really they need to be targeting more in terms of, I mean, it's the budget deficits. It's the fact that the legislature has promised that pensions and all these kinds of payoffs, health care to people, and now they don't have any money to do it, and so they're making cuts and some things. You know, it is not Ken Griffin's fault that the government made those poor choices or that made promises that they can't live up to. So I don't really think this is going to change until the average public starts to wise up about how money works and that they start to realize, like, I mean, these poor people that are following Bernie Sanders around, and, you know, he seems like a great guy.
Jane King, thank you so much. You're awesome. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Todd.
This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bob Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
RG said, Roy, you ain't listening to me.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. It's time for our guy, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. Make sure you check that out. What's up, Matt?
Not much. How you doing, Todd?
I'm doing great. So, you know, last week we saw a little bit of action, but, you know, it wasn't phenomenal, but there was a little bit of action. But, I mean, it seems to me that the overall markets are still in the pain and the torment of consolidation. And what are you seeing?
Yeah, I mean, well, at the end of last week, we had some rollover, I thought, which was kind of good. I think we'll probably chop around a bit longer as well, and then we get a deeper sell-off. But I think it's already begun. I think at this point, I think April 20th was the high, at least in the Dow. And I'm starting to give up on the idea that S&P can, you know, get a little bit higher. I think it's done as well.
So would you be looking, so from your standpoint, you know, I always, you know, talk about, you know, consolidation, you know, and I break the market into three phases, and one of them being consolidation, and that's always the most challenging and the most tormenting and the most treacherous for traders, because, you know, we get a lot of false movement, but basically always end up in the same, you know, tighter, wider range, but really not going anywhere, but really getting there in a hurry. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Just kind of, it just gets so tedious that, you know, you want to make trades out of something that may not be there yet. And we've been dealing with this chop really since the end of March. I do think that the highs are in. So I think if you're just short and sitting there, I think you're fine. The intraday trading, I think, is tough in this environment. But if you're fast, I think it works.
Okay, and then so when you're looking at the overall picture, so you now do think that the highs are in, and so we were talking about potentially a run to new highs in the S&P, because I know you felt that the highs in the Dow were in. But so now you're really thinking that maybe this has been more of a rounding top, so the high is in, and we're starting to make lower highs.
Yeah, I mean, most likely, I think, you know, that April 20th high was it. As I've been saying for a while, I was hoping that the S&P would make slightly higher highs than that, but it didn't make a whole lot of sense because I felt that the Dow top was already in. Yeah. And now I'm happy enough with what we've seen that I think that should be it. One thing at the end of last week that makes me believe we're going to get a little more chop first is what I'm the readings I'm getting in volatility indicators. They haven't. This is kind of splitting hairs, but I wanted them to either go sideways or go a little bit lower for before the. Before they started spiking up, so to me that suggests we may not just fall off a cliff here. We may sort of bounce back up a little bit or chop sideways first before we get the deeper sell off.
Now we've been following the you like to follow the commitment of traders report and each and every week for the last few weeks the banks have been setting new records of holding their positions in volatility. What's going on there?
Yeah, they pretty much just stayed steady. Their volatility position increased by a net 200 or 300 contracts. It wasn't a big deal, but they were already at record highs, record long positions in volatility. So, even another 200, 300 contracts means they're sticking to their guns.
So, are you looking for, a break? Suddenly and have one of these another like an August 24th event, or are you looking for us actually to get a trend breakdown, which would actually be more powerful? I mean, if we go back into if you want to talk about 08, okay, and 07, I mean, the market just didn't go down one day. We had a lot of big movement, but actually they built a trend going lower and continued to get hammered with rallies in between. So are you looking for that type of action, or are you looking for just like a 1 or 2 day event?
I'm looking for. Unfortunately, I can't figure out which it's going to be. I think it's going to be more of just probably more just an August type sell off. I'm still thinking we're going to head back towards the lows we got in the S&P around low 1800s. We may go a bit further than that too. What I really want to see is once. It's obviously more advantageous to know exactly what it's going to do, ahead of, with more lead time. But, what I want to do is I want to get down towards those 1800 lows, and then I want to see how much room is left on indicators to push it lower. If we get to extreme oversold conditions once we're down there, then, then I'm going to assume we're going to bounce from there. If we still have room to, on indicators to move lower, then, I would switch into the second camp.
All right. Well, obviously there's no way to actually know. I have expected for quite a while. I'm expecting to see the 1500s in the S&P.
Right.
Obviously not in one day, but I mean, certainly over time. And I do myself believe that the highs are in. But again, it's a very challenging event right now because of the way the markets are trading, and they've been really kind of hanging in that range. Mm-hmm. And of course, as a trader, that's a very tormenting business because just when you think you're getting it going, they turn around and go the other way. And of course, I mean, that's part of the business, so we can't change that. But I think longer term, I think we look for a pretty significant drop. And again, that's something that I'm looking at much longer term. But certainly I do see, if you look at the chart of volatility, which, of course, you follow, we see that, we're down towards the low end of recent volatility the last couple of months, and which would indicate under any circumstances you would probably get a bounce in volatility, which would mean you'd probably get a little bit of a sell-off in the market. What do you think?
Yeah, no, we're definitely going to get, a spike in volatility. We're definitely going to get a sell-off. We're just talking about what the magnitude will be. I've been talking a lot about Europe. That's where I have my best price patterns. And if I look at Euro Stoxx 50, it still has about 20% more downside until we hit complete a major bullish pattern where we'll hit a bottom line, and then that should be the very bottom of Euro Stoxx 50. So, over on that side, I'm seeing 20% to 25% downside. So, I'm guessing that we're not going to see more than that in the U.S. U.S. has been, relatively stronger. So that's what kind of keeps me out of the 2007, 2008 sort of breakdown category.
I mean, look, again, it all makes sense. I mean, there's obviously, if we could predict it exactly all the time, I mean, we would, you know, obviously never have a losing trade, but of course we know that that's not the case.
Right.
Even in as good of a technical trader as you can be, because there are, you know, nothing is pure or as simple as we like to think it is sometimes. And of course, you know, I think you're still looking for a move up in the dollar, a strengthening dollar. Is that still on the books for you?
Yeah, more medium term to long term. I am. I think we, you know, I've been looking at this for a while. I want to see, you know, this most recent move up over the past 2 weeks really didn't put much of a dent in the long term indicators. They didn't get overbought much at all, which suggests we're going to get, you know, we could get new highs, new recent highs around 103 is where I still think it's possible to, closer to the end of the year.
So that's a fairly significant, obviously a fairly significant move to the upside. And of course that would most likely damage a lot of the commodity space again, if we got that. Is that the same thing you're seeing when you look at the correlation between them?
Yeah, I see a lot of, you know, overbought commodities. I mean, I'm a commodity bull, but, you know, long term. But I think we're going to get, you know, one more sell-off in the commodity space pretty much across the board. I think oil is overbought here. I think it's right at my resistance in a 46 range, 46 to 47 where it's been peaking out. It makes a lot of sense to me. I actually have a stop on at 48, 49. If we get to those levels, then I'll say I was wrong. But right now, it all makes sense. But going back to the dollar real quick, I do think in the short term, it's pushing against short term resistance. So we might get a pullback in the dollar, you know, very short term. Maybe not. But longer term, I definitely see the dollar going, you know, quite a bit higher. Going back to commodities, though, I think gold and silver are my favorites in there. I think, you know, they're headed down one more time.
And which is what you're looking for. And give us your gold deal again, so everybody remembers what you're doing with your gold call.
Right. And gold, I don't, you know, we don't believe that it's bottomed. I don't believe it's bottomed. The low I'm looking for is, we have a very discrete line that has not hit yet, and when it hits, we're going to send out an email and a text message notification to all subscribers, telling them, look, we hit the line and gold is bottomed. And we have that service is sign up is free, and we're only going to charge if a $49 fee if we're right. So we have to hit the line within 3% margin of error, and we then have to rally over 20% before we even charge that.
So there's a deal that you can't really pass up. And of course, if you followed Matt long enough here on the Bubba Show, you'll see that his calls are pretty good, and he's pretty much on top of the markets all the time. We are with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz, and of course, we want to remind you that, you know, every day this show is put into a podcast, and you can download it. We now are just over about 225,000 downloads a month, and obviously looking to get to 300,000. So we hope that you become part of it. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. We'll be right back with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. So, Matt, you know, we've been watching, and we've got, you know, some calls on the dollar. We've got some calls on the market. And, you know, you've been following wheat. And, of course, wheat finally last week, you know, kind of found that bottom and had a fairly good move to the upside. And, of course, but soybeans, you know, obviously had a limit up move, or they were up limit, then sold off a little bit after the report. And, again, I know we don't focus on the reports, and I thought that was probably a pretty good selling opportunity on that rally. But what are you still in the long, like the wheat and short, don't like the others camp right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, still long wheat and short soybeans. So that's been, you know, a little bit painful. We didn't get stopped out in soybeans. I think remains overbought. It's been that way for 3 weeks, and it's pushed a little bit higher last week. It could push even a little bit higher, and I'd be fine with that. But I do think that, you know, they're just too oversold, and we should get a sell-off there. Meanwhile, wheat's the opposite situation, so we'll hold on to it for a while, that pair trade for a while longer, and we'll see how it plays out. But I'm still pretty optimistic about it.
You know, from my work, I see the same thing, and of course, it's been challenging. But this is one of the things. You know, when you trade technically, you see certain things and you set them up, and sometimes, you know, you get these moves that are a little unrealistic, but of course, you know, there's other reasons for it, but the charts still are the key ruling body of all this stuff, because at the end of the day, they typically will revert back to the footprint. So when you look at things now, and I know that you're, you've made some calls on the treasury market, and I think you're feeling a little bit better about certain things in the treasuries. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I mean, the treasury market, that this is, you know, one of these huge trades that, you know, only come along once, really, I think, in a lifetime or twice in a lifetime. You know, I really think, you know, and everybody's been calling this market for a long time. So, you know, I'll just add my opinion to it. But I think that the treasury market is going to peak. We came very close on February 11th. And if that was not the peak, I think there's one slightly higher high to come, and then the treasury market will have peaked long term. So for the 35-year bull market will have ended at that point, and a secular bear will start. And I think it'll be an incredible bear market, because I see interest rates going to 11% in the 10-year. So that's a very long term. Or a very big move. I don't know if it's going to be how long it will take, but I think we peak out in the next few months, sometime this year anyway, and then you know, treasuries sell off for quite a long time.
All right, so we're looking for Jimmy Carter to win the election. You're looking for him to come back into.
That's right.
But so now, how are you? Where do those indications come from? What type of chart are you using to make that determination?
Well, my specific methods, it's similar to Fibonacci stuff. I'm looking for retracements similar to, like, you know, you're looking for a 50% pullback, that kind of, you know, those kinds of things, are going to 100% level. It's not actually Fibonacci, but it has some similarities to it. And I don't really specify what method I'm using, because it's my own. It has similarities.
It's proprietary, so we have to make sure, you know, we can't give up his secrets. But
right,
I get it. I mean, and that's fine. But
well, let me put it this way: like for the 10-year rate itself, I'm looking for 11% minimum upside in the rate. So from, I'm thinking, you know, roughly 1.5% up to 11% minimum target. So I think we are going to see some major inflation coming down the road.
Well, of course, the now that the Fed has screwed everything up, they have to come back with what they call the hidden tax of inflation, which is just another way of taxing the poor guys in the middle class. But so as we see this, what effect will that have? I mean, that should have a dramatic effect on a number of other markets, would it not?
I mean, I would assume it's going to have serious repercussions on real estate market. I mean, all bond markets, currency markets are going to be screwed up. I mean, it's going to be pretty weird. Yeah, I think it's going to affect practically everything.
Of course, I mean, because of course we all know that from a fundamental standpoint, that, you know, the elderly or the retirees or the fixed income people, they can't stand being in the stock market in general. And of course, there's nothing would make them happier than to see, you know, interest rates even at 3 or 4%, so they could actually put their money in the bank versus putting into the equity market. So does any of that stuff ever play into your mind when you're looking at these things? Does that correlation ever come into the chart that you're looking at?
For as an example, I think, you know, everybody right now is searching for yield. that's been the play. So that's why utilities are so overbought. They're ridiculously, it's ridiculous that they're trading at levels they are. So I think utilities, as an example, will fall once you have, you know, rates rise and there's competition for yield. For retirees and for savers, I don't know if they really benefit in this scenario, because I would assume that, you know, these higher rates, at least on the long end, they may just accompany inflation, which, you know, their purchasing power may be damaged, you know, just as fast. So it's hard to know whether savers will benefit or not. But yeah, it definitely plays into my thinking about what other sectors do we want to, you know, trade or take advantage of the move higher in rates.
All right. So, you know, when we're looking at, you know, the general markets and, you know, the interest, the effects on interest rates and the potential inflation that will drive, you've got a whole series of obviously cause and effect that happens to different markets. And if you're right, that would indicate that the stock market would really probably sell off. So, you know, how does one set themselves up for a play like that? Do you have any suggestions for the listening audience out there and things you might be looking at doing?
Well, I think, you know, in addition to just being short treasuries, which I think would be the main trade, we'd also short, like I said, utilities, and anything that people have rushed to for yield. I think, you know, if we are talking about the inflationary aspect, I think that, you know, gold and silver will be, you know, back in bull markets. I think it really matters, like, what is causing the higher rates. And that's what's kind of sending, I'm trying to work through my own mind what scenarios are going to take place that that rates would go that high. And, you know, I'm thinking, you know, it's possible stocks actually go up. It depends on what's causing it. If, you know, I believe, and I think you believe, at some point the Fed goes back to printing money. And, you know, if that is the trigger for the higher rates, you know, my this would get into a much longer conversation, but basically I'm thinking if we go into a very high unemployment economy, and the Fed, in order to, you know, prop it up, just prints, you know, a gargantuan amount of money, then our creditors who are holding treasuries maybe they end up dumping, you know, because they know we're going to devalue the dollar essentially, and they don't want to be, you know, holding dollar denominated bonds. You know, that could be the reason why rates rise as dramatically as I see coming, and you know, people may actually flood into, you know, stocks as, you know, as inflation hedges. I'm not, it's hard to figure out.
I mean, I think that you'd see, obviously, I think we're going to negative rates. I think you're going to see a problem there. And I think that that will indeed possibly tie in with your gold call and your special that you're offering. Because, of course, if we can get the sell off and then you get negative rates and a stronger dollar, you're going to have lower gold prices. But if you get the Fed to come in and try to reduce it again, that could lead the people to go, you know, you get negative rates, you're going to get people going to gold. I mean, there's no place else to go. That at least it's a hard asset you can hold on to. So I think that's a very good potential possibility. And of course, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com always brings the story to us, and he tells us exactly what he feels and how straight it is, and it's all based on his technical work. Matt, I appreciate you coming on as always.
I appreciate it being here, Todd. Thanks.
This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horse, and we are with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. Make sure you check out his gold special. It's a great call. It's a great opportunity, and it's a great opportunity to be tied up with a purely technical research analyst. I think it's a great opportunity for everybody. Make sure that when you miss an episode, The Bubba Show is at libertytalk.fm every single day. And, of course, we look forward to you downloading it. This has been The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much. Todd Bubba Horowitz, The Bubba Show. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.